thought you'd be upset. I was so worried.
Don't be silly. You're my best friend. I'm thrilled, Susanna lied. Katie wiped her face.
Will you be godmum?
She croaked. I'd be livid if you didn't ask. Of course I will.
Oh, thank God, I haven't slept all night. As soon as I found out, I wanted to tell you and I couldn't just phone.
Susanna squeezed her friend's hand reassuringly, then looked at her watch. I'm going to have to kick you out, I'm afraid. I'm doing a lunch for Sibylla. Katie wrinkled her nose.
Do us all a favour. Stick arsenic in her cure royale.
Susanna laughed. I'm not going to kill her off till I get paid. You know how tight she is, despite her squillions. Susanna, Katie and Sibylla had all met in Oxford, where they'd shared a grotty little terraced house in Jericho. Katie had been in her third year of law at the university. Sibylla was at the Oxford and County Secretarial College, and Susanna was waitressing at Brown's and cooking at lunchtimes in a smartish restaurant. They'd lived together for a year, fighting over clothes, men, and whose food was whose in the fridge, before going their separate ways. Susanna had bumped into Sibylla in Richmond High Street nearly 10 years ago, to find that she'd bagged herself a millionaire and a much-coveted house on Richmond Hill, where she lived with her two children, Hamish and Aurelia, a Filipino housekeeper and a Czech au pair. Katie and Susanna had always kept in touch, but Katie refused to have anything too much to do with Sibylla nowadays, considering her vain, lazy, shallow and tight-fisted, which, of course, she was. Susanna, however, maintained their friendship because Sibylla did a lot of entertaining but couldn't cook for toffee. She knew Sibylla only used her company Decadent Dining because she expected a hefty discount, which she duly gave her after hiking up the quote in the first place. They had an unspoken agreement that they would pretend not to know each other when Susanna catered for her. It meant the boundaries didn't blur and kept their relationship businesslike. They both preferred it that way. The thought of socialising with Sibylla's friends filled Susanna with horror, and Sibylla didn't really like to be seen fraternising with staff. Today was her birthday lunch. Her 30th, she'd reminded Susanna breathily, so she wanted it to be special, though she didn't actually want anyone to know she was 30, so no candles. When Katie had gone, Susanna took a deep breath. She looked at her watch, 11:35. Absolutely no time to have a nervous breakdown. She sped up the stairs and hurled herself in and out of the shower, then opened the armoire on the landing where her freshly washed and ironed work clothes were neatly stacked. A lunch party dictated casual, so she chose a white T-shirt off one pile, black jeans off another, and a monogram chef's apron off a third. She had crisp white blouses and black velvet skirts for more formal occasions. Her black suede loafers went with either option. The key was to look smart and discreet, but definitely not sexy. Men inevitably made passes at the catering staff after they'd had a few. She hung her head upside down and dried her hair quickly. Her long, straight, dark brown hair might be boring, but it was thick, shiny and obedient, and she twisted it deftly into a plait that would stop the ends dangling in the pesto. She sat at her dressing table for a moment, gazing in the mirror, wondering if what she felt showed in her reflection. She decided not. She'd become adept at disguising her feelings. The face that stared back at her was serene and impassive, a blank canvas. Her eyes were a sludgy, greeny brown, like the mossy, flat stones at the bottom of a river. Deep chocolate brown freckles were scattered across the bridge of her nose, as if applied carefully by a child doing a drawing. The skin underneath was porcelain pale, her generous mouth punctuated by a single dimple in her right cheek when she smiled, though there was no evidence of that now. Susanna didn't feel like smiling. She wanted to hurl herself onto the bed and cry her eyes out. But business was business, and Sibylla was unquestionably one of her best clients. Swiftly, she applied a flick of charcoal grey eyeliner to her upper lids, a slick of matte pinky beige lipstick to her mouth, then popped 2 drops of Bark's rescue remedy onto her tongue, praying it would get her through the next few hours. Sibylla answered the door looking fresh as a daisy in baby pink Chanel.